Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Voting Rights and Preemption Fights Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 18, 2013, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Arizona v. Intertribal Council of Arizona, Incorporated. The case concerns the scope of state authority over election procedures and considers, first, whether the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit may apply a heightened preemption test to Arizona's voter registration law, and second, whether the Ninth Circuit correctly held that the National Voter Registration Act preempts an Arizona registration law directing persons who are registered to vote to show evidence of their eligibility. To discuss the case, we have Tom Casso, who is an associate professor at Chapman University School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Casso.
I am Tom Casso from Chapman University School of Law, here today to talk to you about the oral argument in Arizona versus Intertribal Council of Arizona. This case involves a perceived clash between state and federal law on voter registration. The federal law is the National Voter Registration Act, commonly known as MOTR-VOTR, for the requirement that states provide voter registration materials whenever anyone applies for a driver's license. Under the NVRA, the Federal Election Advisory Commission creates registration forms in consultation with states that states must, quote, accept and use, end quote. Arizona law, under its new Proposition 200, requires people registering to vote to provide proof of citizenship, either through a recent driver's license identification number or by attaching other documentation acceptable to the federal government. A federal form that is not accompanied by proof of citizenship is not accepted. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the NVRA preempted the state law proof of citizenship requirement, and the Supreme Court granted review. To resolve this issue, the court must decide whether voter registration is governed by the Voter Qualification Clause of Article 1, Section 2, or the Election Clause of Article 1, Section 4. If the latter, the court must decide what type of preemption test to apply to state law in the face of congressional action under Section 4. Finally, the court must decide whether the Arizona legislation fails any such preemption test. The general intent of the National Voter Registration Act is to increase registration of eligible voters and protect the integrity of the election process. The Act seeks to accomplish this scheme by requiring states to combine the application for voter registration with the application for a driver's license. The Act empowers the Election Advisory Commission to design the form that states must use for voter registration. But it also requires the commission to consult with state election officials in designing that form. Specific state requirements are covered in the extensive set of instructions that accompanies the form. Thus, the registration form instructions for California require applicants to include a driver's license or identification number, while the instructions for completing the form in Hawaii require applicants to supply their Social Security number. The regulations promulgated by the Commission specifically provide for these state variations in the federal form. Federal law does include some limits on what the Commission may require in the voter registration form. For instance, the Commission cannot require any information that is already required on the driver's license application. And for mail-in voter registration forms, it cannot require notarization or other formal authentication. The form does require applicants to swear under penalty of perjury that the information is correct, including the statements regarding their citizenship status. States are required to, quote, accept and use, end quote, the federal form, in addition to any state forms for voter registration. In 2004, Arizona voters adopted Proposition 200 to crack down on problems with fraudulent voter registrations and illegal voting. The principal provisions of Proposition 200 required applicants to submit proof of citizenship when they registered to vote. the law barred state election officials from accepting registration forms without the requisite proof. Arizona submitted these changes to the Election Advisory Commission for inclusion in Arizona's version of the federal form. Commission staff, however, refused to include the new requirements. Arizona went forward with the implementation of the new requirements of Proposition 200 on its own. In essence, Arizona law rejects federal forms that are not accompanied by proof of citizenship. The issue in the case is whether this refusal is preempted by the National Voter Registration Act requirement that states, quote, accept and use, end quote, the federal form. If these two laws are found to be in conflict, the court must determine which level of government has authority over the voter registration process. Article 1, Section 2, and the 17th Amendment define the qualifications of voters for federal elections as those individuals with the qualifications to vote for the most numerous branch of the state legislature. Article 1, Section 4, by contrast, provides that states should set the time, place, and manner of holding elections, but it gives Congress the power to make or alter those regulations at any time. Since Section 4 contains its own preemption clause, allowing Congress to alter state regulations regarding time, place, or manner of federal elections, another question for the court is whether the preemption test under Section 4 is different from the preemption test under the Supremacy Clause. At argument, Justice Sotomayor was the first questioner, and she focused on the purpose of the NVRA. Was it to simplify the registration process, she asked. When the Attorney General for Arizona responded that the purpose was also to ensure integrity of the system, Justice Sotomayor asked why one purpose would outweigh other purposes. Justice Ginsburg noted that Congress had considered the issue of proof of citizenship and only decided to require a signed attestation. Justice Kagan challenged the Arizona Attorney General on his argument that requiring additional evidence beyond the attestation did not conflict with the statute. As Arizona's Attorney General explained the administrative process for including different instructions for different states, Justice Scalia asked why the state did not challenge the Election Advisory Commission's refusal to include the new Arizona requirements in the federal instructions. Since a similar requirement had been approved for Louisiana, the commission's refusal in this case at least appears to be arbitrary and capricious. Arizona, however, had not challenged the commission decision. Instead, it simply implemented the new law, and the result was this challenge now before the court. During his argument, Arizona's Attorney General stuck to his position that Arizona was following the federal law, and that requirements to submit additional information did not conflict with the NVRA. Justice Sotomayor challenged that position, however, noting that the federal law allows the form to return by mail on a postcard. Any requirement for additional information, she noted, appeared to conflict with that position. Justice Kennedy asked whether the state could also require proof of address or proof of date of birth. When the Arizona Attorney General applied in the affirmative, so long as the requirement for additional proof was consistent with the purposes of the NVRA, Justice Kennedy shot back, "What then is the purpose of the federal form?" The respondent's attorney argued that if an applicant for voter registration did not have a driver's license, the NVRA requires the state to accept the applicant's attestation as sufficient proof of citizenship. This prompted Justice Alito to offer the hypothetical of a 13-year-old boy who rides his bicycle to the election office to turn in a form that he has signed attesting that he is over the age of 18. Is the state elections office required to register him to vote based on that attestation? The respondent's attorney argued that the state could conduct its own investigation, but it could not require more information from the applicant. This conclusion flows, respondents argued, from the language of the statute, that says that the commission may only require certain specified items of information. Justice Scalia immediately asked whether the use of the word, quote, may, end quote, in the statute means that the commission could refuse to require any of the specified items, including attestation as to citizenship. Respondents argued no. The commission was required to include everything on the list, leading to an exchange of whether may in the statute means shall. Returning to the fact that the commission had allowed Louisiana to require additional information to be submitted with its form, the Chief Justice asked if the commission violated federal law in that instance. Respondents refused to take a position, noting that perhaps the commission had approved the additional information requirement for Louisiana pursuant to a different statute. On the issue of states being able to use their own forms in addition to federal forms, respondents conceded that it is possible for states to end up with two different voter rolls, one for federal elections and one for state elections. The Solicitor General, when asked that question, did not make a similar concession, but he also refused to answer whether the state could have a requirement for documentary proof of citizenship on its own registration form. A good part of the Solicitor General's argument was also taken up with the question of whether the statutory requirement that says, quote, may only require, quote, allows the commission to refuse to include some of those requirements on the federal form. Although one of the central arguments of the parties in the briefs was whether the preemption rule in Article 1, Section 4 is different from that in the Supremacy Clause, there was only one question on that issue coming from Justice Kennedy, and it came at the end of respondents' argument. So how is the court going to rule? From the questioning, Justices Breyer, Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Kagan appeared skeptical of Arizona's argument. If the purpose of the NVRA is to streamline registration, then Arizona's requirement for proof of citizenship may be found to be contrary to that purpose. The Chief Justice and Justices Scalia and Alito expressed their own skepticism of the respondent's position. Why can't states require proof of eligibility before registering someone as a voter? As noted, Justice Kennedy was the only one that expressed an interest in discussing how the preemption language of Article 1, Section 4 worked. Does it require a presumption against preemption that the court has applied in the Supremacy Clause cases? Or does the language of Section 4 mean that once Congress has acted, the court should treat it as field preemption, ousting all state regulations, whether or not they directly conflict with the federal law? This issue may well be the key to how the court deals with the question presented in the case. There was also no discussion at oral argument about the scope of Congress's power under the Elections Clause in Article 1, Section 4. Nor was there any mention of whether the state's power to set eligibility requirements for voters in federal elections pursuant to the Qualifications Clause in Section 2 affects the question of who has the power to govern the voter registration process. Justice Kennedy may well be the swing vote in deciding how these different provisions work together. If that is the case, there was little from the argument to suggest how he might conclude on any of these questions. Thus, I am confidently predicting a 5-4 decision, but that is all that I am predicting at this point. Stay tuned for the decision in June.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.